we have such a precious Savior.
Amen.
That's right, amen. That it's very, very important that we know everything we can possibly know about Him. Because in knowing and getting to know Him, we receive everything He has to offer us. That's one of the reasons we've been working our way through the saying, the I Am sayings of Jesus, because each different saying reveals something more of Jesus' character. This morning we're going to be looking at the third I Am statement that He made. It's found in John the 10th chapter, verses 7 to 10. This I Am statement is actually linked to another I Am statement that we're going to be looking at next week, but I'm going to try to keep those two as separate as possible because they relate to different things. But this morning, if you want to join with me in reading God's Word and standing in honor of His Word, we're looking at John the 10th chapter, verses 7 through 10. Jesus made this statement. He said, therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we come today because of Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us here this morning is here because He has spoken to us in some way. Maybe He has spoken to us to encourage us. Maybe He has spoken to us to draw us here so we can hear His Word and receive salvation. But Father, in these moments, it's important that we hear Him. Lord, I ask that You would use me as Your instrument to accomplish that task. In Jesus' name, amen. As I've said, we've arrived at the third I Am statement. One of the reasons these are important is not just because you reveal something about Jesus, but if you were to look in the Greek at how He made that statement, it's an expression that is ego I me, which is basically Jesus saying, I am. Now that may not mean much to some of us who tend to forget things, but if you go back to the story of Moses, you'll remember that God declared Himself to Moses as the I Am. What does that mean? The God of the now. The God of the present, the God of the living, the God who will touch your life like He touched the life of Israel. And so these statements of Jesus, in essence, He is declaring Himself as the I Am, the God who will touch you. The first I Am statement, if you'll remember, was about His sufficiency. He said, I am the bread of life. None of us can survive without food. None of us can survive without Jesus. Second I Am statement He proclaimed was His ability to show us the way. I am the light. None of us would know how to get to the Father if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. This third statement asserts Him being the entrance or the door. Some translations use the word gate. The NIV uses the word gate because it's describing a sheep pen. But the literal Greek word is the word for door. He's the entrance, the way in. What is He the entrance and the way into? That's what we want to discover this morning. Now, Jesus' announcement today was triggered by a healing. Jesus and His disciples were going through Jerusalem. The Scripture doesn't tell us exactly where they were located when this occurred, but they came upon a blind man. Scripture specifically states that he was blind from birth. That means he had never seen light of day. And the disciples started this discussion over who was guilty of sin, this man or his parents. You know, that is so much like us. Sometimes we see a handicapped person and we start talking about them right there, forgetting that they can hear it. I know this guy was probably listening to their conversation. And Jesus made the statement, this was not a sin, but it was for the glory of God. And then he proceeds to do something rather interesting, and it's probably the only time in Scripture that Jesus did something that would gross most of us out. He spit in the dirt, and he made mud, and then he smeared that on the guy's eyes. Now, if you're a germaphobic, you're going, it just goes up and down your spine to think that Jesus spit and on somebody's face. But Jesus was about to do something that was going to glorify the Heavenly Father. And that's what the I Am does. He glorifies the Father. And he took that mud, he smeared it on the guy's eyes, and he told the guy to go wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam. And the man did. When he obeyed, his eyes were healed. A person who had never seen anything before in his entire life could suddenly see. Now, how could that have caused Jesus to declare himself to be the entrance? I'm glad you asked. I saw that question go through every one of your minds. And I was ready to answer it. Because we're here today for that reason. It didn't prompt Jesus to make that claim. I'm building up to something, okay? What it did was it caused a stir in the community. This gentleman who had never been able to see anything in his life, he was an older person, by the way. He was of age. We'll find out about that later. But he went home, and the neighbors couldn't believe that this guy could see. I mean, they had known him for all of his life. They had known him a long time. He could never see, and now he could see. And they couldn't believe what had happened. And so they asked him, and he said, well, somebody put mud on my eyes and told me to go wash my face. And I did. And I can see. Well, the neighbors couldn't believe that this was possible. So in order to get to the truth, they hauled him in to the Pharisees. Now, from the text of what was going on, they hauled him into the synagogue, which means they took him to the church, took him before the elders and said, you all make him tell us the truth because we don't believe a word he's saying. That was the responsibility of the elders of the synagogue. And so they take him into the Pharisees, who were the elders of this synagogue, and they question this man who had been formerly blind, and they tried to get him to proclaim that Jesus was something other than a man of God. Now, why did they try to get him to proclaim that? And it's because if you go back and read chapter 9, you will find that Jesus did his healing on the Sabbath. And that was a no-no, according to the rabbis. Healing wasn't allowed on the Sabbath because that would be work and you weren't supposed to work on Sunday. And so, they tried to get him to confess that Jesus had to be something other than who he was. In other words, what they were trying to do was either to get him to deny the miracle or to get him to deny the miracle worker. And this man had been changed forever, and he would do neither. So these Pharisees, being the pompous and proper righteous men that they were, felt it was their duty to throw him out of the church. So they excommunicated him. This man went from being a social outcast because he was blind to being a spiritual outcast because he could see. That's a no-win situation. He was a loser, at least from their perspective. And it was into this relationship that Jesus was led to make this announcement that he was the door. Let's Scripture tells us that when he found out that he had been kicked out of the church, Jesus went and sought him out. And he asked the man, "Will you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man responded in the appropriate way. It was in this relationship, it was in the midst of this man's plight, Jesus made this declaration, "I am the door, I am the gate, I am the entrance." So what is Jesus the door into? What is he the entrance into? Why is he a gate? Well, first of all, as we look at this passage, we'll find that he is the door to salvation. When Jesus found out this man born blind had been thrown out of the synagogue, he went to him and he said to him specifically, "Do you believe? Will you believe? Will you accept me for who I am?" See, the man didn't know who Jesus was because he had never seen him before. Might have known his name, but he was blind even after Jesus put the mud on his eyes. And so Jesus had to seek him out. And in seeking him out, he came to him and he says, "Will you believe?" And this is a question that everyone has to answer. This is not an issue of a religious matter. No, Christianity is not about religion. It's about relationship. This is a question that is not about what others think. Because it doesn't really matter what other people think when you stand before a holy God. The only thing that matters is what is your relationship to Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of going to church. This guy had already been kicked out of church. They didn't want him to go back. What is important is, will we come to God in the only way that God has provided? And that is through Jesus, who is the entrance. Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." For many people, this is a struggle. They want to feel worthy to come to God. You'll see people that think they have to be good enough before they can approach God. They'll work hard for the purposes of the church, because they want to earn the right to come to God. For them, Jesus is not the way. Works are the way. They have to do something that makes them worthy of salvation. Those type of people usually want all believers to act a certain way. They want us to dress a certain way, because they feel like fulfilling some duty is what makes us or identifies us as the believers we claim to be. I'm going to tell you a little secret. There's only one thing that's going to identify you as a believer: being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that matters. Being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to tell you another thing. This is a side sermon. I'm throwing it in for free. If you're obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be in church. It has nothing to do with works. Has something to do with loving and honoring the Savior who saved your life. The Pharisees had this problem. They presumed to have God's authority to determine who could heal and who couldn't heal. And since Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, obviously he couldn't be from God, because God wouldn't work on the Sabbath. Duh. The fact that they were alive and breathing meant God worked on the Sabbath. But because they felt they were religious in outward behavior, because they worked to be the persons they should be, they felt they had the right to judge who could heal and who couldn't heal. And because of that, they were blind to a major truth. And the truth they were blind to, that God was affirming Jesus Christ through His miracles. He could give sight to the blind. That was the work of God through Jesus Christ. For many, this struggle to believe is a struggle to accept Jesus, because it requires faith. Some people struggle with faith, because faith requires obedience. You can't have faith and not have obedience. It's impossible. Because if you truly, truly, truly believe that Jesus is the only hope in your life, you're going to obey Him. If you don't truly, truly believe that Jesus is the only hope in your life, you're going to do your own thing. And that's not faith. Faith is completely resting your trust upon Jesus Christ. Faith is believing something you cannot prove. Faith is claiming reality in spite of the evidence. That's hard for some people to do. But many start to follow Christ, then the trials of life begin to test their faith and they fall away because it's easier for them to see reality than it is for them to walk in trust. It's easier for them to accept reality than it is for them to believe that Jesus can give sight to the blind. That He can give life to the dead. That He can provide salvation without my work. It's easier to look at circumstances than to look at promises. This man had never had sight in his life, yet Jesus put mud on his eyes and told him to go wash. And because he chose to do what Jesus said to do, he had sight. Now, I'm here to tell you, the dirt in Israel is no different than the dirt in Texas. The dirt was not the issue. The spit was not the issue. The issue was the faith and obedience. He chose to believe and he regained his sight. And then Jesus asked him to believe in the Son of Man and he believed. And it says he worshipped. That's a sign that he truly believed. He fell on his knees and worshipped the one who had healed him. He gained his spiritual sight. He saw the work of God. Scripture tells us in Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given by men by which we shall be saved. In other words, Jesus is the entrance. He's the only one. No other way. Can't work to get there. Can't do anything except trust in Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody in his book, Day by Day with D.L. Moody, wrote, the thief, one of them who was crucified with Jesus, had nails through both hands so he couldn't work. He had a nail through each foot so he couldn't run errands for the Lord. Couldn't lift a hand or a foot toward his salvation, and yet Jesus Christ offered him what? The gift of going to heaven with him. All he could do was accept the gift. That's all anybody can do. None of us can do anything or offer anything to God except ourselves. All we can do is throw ourselves on His mercy, accept His offer of salvation, believe that Jesus Christ died in our place for our sins, and that He is the only door into heaven. Jesus is still in the business of giving spiritual sight to the blind. He's still in the business of helping people have salvation in life. But they have to answer this question. Do you believe? Do you accept me as the only way? He is the door to our salvation. Second, He's the door to our satisfaction. Jesus said to those who enter through Him, that they will come in and go out and find pasture. He's contemporizing the imagery here of what He has set up. He said, I'm the gate, and He's talking about a sheepfold. And the imagery here is of the sheep that have accepted Him, and they have this pleasure about them, this freedom about them, that they can go in and come out and they can be satisfied. Because He controls the door. And He controls the sheep. And He gives them satisfaction. It's a picture of sheep who are at ease. They can go in and out without fear. Their needs are met. They're happy with life. I'm sure this former blind man was much happier with being able to see and not being in the synagogue than he was to be in the synagogue and not be able to see. His life got better. Why would he want to go back? He wouldn't. What he gained with Jesus was far more than what they could take away from him. He was satisfied with Jesus. Jesus is the entrance into this kind of satisfaction. He can take the struggles out of life and make them become issues of contentment. Every burden is lighter when Jesus helps you carry the load. Every decision is wiser when Jesus guides you in the choice. Every struggle gets easier as we rest in the knowledge that God's great love and care for us will not let us down. Every plan gets sweeter as we listen to the one who will take us into the Father's will. That's faith. That's contentment. That's salvation. A word of testimony from one of his followers is found in Philippians 4, 12 and 13. And it says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. The secret is, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. In other words, when I depend on my Savior, I succeed. I do well. The person who's in humble obedience to God's will in their marriage, in their life, in their job, doing everything they can to fulfill the purpose of God, has for them satisfaction for their soul. Because that's what God provides. Contentment. Satisfaction. Happiness. We cannot make our plans and expect God to bless them. We must enter into God's will through Jesus Christ. Because He's the door to our satisfaction. There's a third thing. He's the door to our security. Jesus' bold declaration that He is the door or the gate is based on the imagery of a sheepfold. Now, I don't know how many sheepfolds you've seen. I'm going to be real honest with you. I haven't seen one. But what they tell me in Israel is the sheepfolds over there are built similar to some of our corrals in that they're round, sometimes square, but they have a wall all the way around them. The wall can be 10 or 12 feet high. Why? Because they're protecting sheep. The thing about a sheepfold is there is one entrance. There's not doors, there's not gates, there's not many, there's one. And at night, when they come in from the hills, when they come in from pasture, from feeding the sheep, they herd all those sheep into that sheepfold. And then the shepherd lays across the entrance. You literally cannot get to the sheep without interfering with the shepherd. Jesus says, I'm the shepherd, I'm the door, I'm the gate, I'm the entrance. You cannot get to my fold without going through me. He's the door. He's our protection. He has promised us eternal life. You know what that means? Nobody can change that promise. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, nobody's going to change that. You're His forever. In fact, He has some words to say about that, and I want to share them with you this morning. He gives us the security in John 6:39. He says, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that I will lose none of all that He has given me, but I will raise them up at the last day. Okay. Which one of you isn't going to make it? If you chose Him, if you accepted His offer, you're all going to be there. Okay? He went on to say in John 10:28, I'm sorry, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. You hear that? I hate to say this, but y'all are stuck with me forever. Okay? If you don't like it right now, you better move to another heaven. Because, you know, no, I'm excited about that because that means I'm going to see you forever too. And that thrills me to death. But He said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Remember I talked a few weeks ago about Satan being the enemy and how his desire is to destroy you? You know why he needs to destroy you in this world? Because he can't touch you in the next one. And he knows you're going to make it to the next one and he's going to try to keep you from getting there if he can. And guess what? He can't do it. All he can do is interfere with your progress. Slow you down a little bit. He's a speed bump in life. Hit him hard. Run over him. There's another passage that speaks of this security, and it's found in Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, and it says, "No, in all things we're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Once you walk through the door, nothing can touch you. Yeah, Satan can mess with you and your life can be a little rough at times, but guess what? Jesus is still right there. And there is nothing He is going to allow to keep you from receiving the promise of life eternal and life abundant and free right here and right now. When we place our trust in Christ, what we trust to Him is secure. It's secure. Harry Ironside stated that some view salvation like Noah putting a peg in the outside of the ark and telling everybody if they just hang on to that peg through the storm, they'd get to heaven. Now, how many of us would have a chance of hanging on to that peg for a year? Wouldn't make it, would we? That's how long they were on the ark. Point is, that's not salvation. That's work. Salvation is not dependent on our holding on to God. It's being secure in the fact that God is holding on to us. Big difference. It's up to me, I'm going to lose. It's up to God, I win every time. This morning, we must not doubt the security of Christ's work. To say that Christ cannot keep us is based more on us than it is on Him. Because Christ has said He can keep us. We must be secure in our faith in Him. Jesus is the door to our security. Today, if you're doubting your faith, I'm going to urge you to rest in Jesus. Give up the frustrations. Give up the struggles. Just rest in Jesus. Lay back on Him and claim the security that He has to offer you. He can take care of you. Today, if you're unhappy with your life, maybe you're struggling, you're frustrated, guess what? Give up and rest in Jesus. He'll satisfy you. There is not a problem in this world that He can't handle. And there's not a problem in this world you can solve. Give it up. Let Him handle it. Be satisfied in Him. Today, if you're unhappy with your life, rest in Jesus. Be satisfied. He's the door. Today, if you're here and you don't have eternal life, the fact that you're here today and you've heard this message means Jesus is speaking to your heart. He wants you to have that eternal security. He wants to be the door for you. Don't turn down this opportunity. Make the choice now. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. It's going to be your chance to come and get right with God. Whatever you need to get right. Maybe trust Him in His security. Trust Him in being satisfied. Or trust Him for eternal life. Will you come?